As a leader in the grief space, I've cared for and supported families and communities for over 20 years. This show dives into the journey and experiences all of us will most certainly encounter in life. Welcome to the Guiding Grief Podcast, where we discuss grief and explore opportunities for growth and connection. I'm your host, Nicholas Welsenbach, and this is Guiding Grief on KCAT TV. Welcome back to the Guiding Grief Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Welsenbach. Today, sitting with us is Stephanie Poirier from Parting Stone. Parting Stone is an incredible company that is working to support people in the grief space in a completely and unique way. And we are so excited to have Stephanie here with us. Thank you to our sponsors, Darling Fisher and Los Gatos Memorial Park. And most importantly, welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. You get to work for and help lead a completely new category in the death care space. We spoke about that earlier, about death care and people being comfortable or uncomfortable with that word, as we've spoke about that earlier.
Yes. And I love that word.
It's my right. Favorite. It's exactly, yeah. It is what we do, how we help folks. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to launch into and just let people know, if they're not familiar with what Parting Stone is, it is what is referred to as solidification, so a new category. So as you were describing to me earlier about a phone turning into a smartphone, and then we had watches, a new category ended up being when we had smartwatches. Mm-hmm. And in the death care, we don't have lots of new categories, and this is... it's early yet, but a cataclysmic shift in the way that we can memorialize a loved one with this new category, which is
the type of remains.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, previously with cremation, you just receive cremated remains. That was never thought of as a category or something to think about, because it's just what came from cremation. So now we've created solidified remains, meaning that families can choose, and they have a choice of cremated remains or solidified remains when the cremation is finalized, meaning there's a whole new category of options, and maybe we'll see even more types of things in the future families can receive after cremation.
Right. And if you haven't seen the Shark Tank, which was where Parting Stone is featured, it's been around much longer than it was on Shark Tank, right? Mm-hmm. But definitely, how many viewers watched the Shark Tank episode in the initial run?
The initial episode got 10 million viewers.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of people were educated that evening.
Absolutely. And can you share with us about the proprietor, the creator of Parting Stone, and just his journey to bringing this new category to the world?
Absolutely. So our founder and CEO is Justin Crow. His background was in ceramics and other arts, and he's not from the death care space at all. And he had lost his grandfather. And after losing his grandfather, he went through the funeral planning with his family, and he took some remains home. And this was his first time experiencing any of this. And when he got the remains home, he realized he didn't have any connection to them. And he didn't understand why. He didn't understand why he had been so close to his grandfather, but now this set of remains that he had, he just felt no connection to. And he asked around and found out that, of course, that's unfortunately very common.
That's what it is.
A lot of people have remains that they don't feel connected to, and they store away somewhere. And it really comes down to the material. People don't like to see it. They're scared of it. It's not attractive. Cremated remains, if you've ever seen, I mean, I know you've seen it.
I'm all too familiar. You know, absolutely.
Usually a shade of gray. It's granular. People are scared of there might be bones or
you're
something.
You're watching on the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. This is what cremated remains looks eerily like, or absolutely like, right?
They can, yeah.
Here.
Yep. And so most people are not interested in communicating or connecting with them, and they don't really have a way to. So he thought, oh, well, maybe there's something I can do, and maybe I can use my ceramics background to figure something out. And so he did start to do that, but he found that, you know, he was having to use a lot of ceramic in it, and so then it was more of a keepsake, right? It was more putting a little bit of cremated remains in something else, and that's not what he wanted. He wanted to replace cremated remains. So he started working with some material scientists and figured out a way to do it, where now when you hold one of those stones, it is almost entirely the remains just compressed. So that whole thing you're holding is remains of your loved one. And now you can feel connected to it and interact with it without being scared.
Absolutely. I remember the first time I even went to the website I've been a funeral professional at this point for 23 years. And anytime shift or change comes to the funeral and cemetery space, I don't, for those of you that have watched or heard in the past, I don't like the word industry. People say funeral industry. I think of smokestacks when I think of that. And I don't think of industry, but we're a service-based space. Mm-hmm. So funeral and cemetery service, we don't see a lot of change from within. It's usually someone like Justin, an artisan, that has found an encounter that is like, this isn't what I was looking for, and searching for an alternative. So working alongside him, because it sounds like the space there at Parting Stone is pretty family oriented. Everybody is involved in what is created. So it's a pretty amazing space to work with.
Oh yeah. It's very collaborative. The person who runs the production side of everything, she's actually been with them since the start. The two of them were just doing this together for a long time, and she's still there, and she runs the lab now and makes sure everything is good. But Justin is very open to collaborative efforts from the team, especially from people who have been in the funeral space so that they have another viewpoint. He loves bringing in artists as well so that there continues to be a creative mindset within the company, finding new ways to do things. We run R&D all the time, trying to see if there's new and better ways to do things, if what we're doing is correct, if there's a better option. Mm-hmm.
Well, as it relates to what someone would receive, and again, if you've seen it on Shark Tank, which I highly recommend, one of the things that I thought was wonderful about it, right, looking at the dais of the sharks, and Justin coming out, and from my understanding, I've had another friend that's presented on Shark Tank mm-hmm. as well, that they truly don't know what's going to be presented to them. So they're kind of taken aback. This is new and novel to them. And this is totally different from anything in the space. I think there was a diamond thing that was associated with Mark mm-hmm. Cuban. Mm-hmm. But for them to see it, the thing that I loved was Justin even talking about his grandfather immediately just brought you to that space where you're choked up. You're talking about someone that you love. And then you look at the dais of sharks and it meets them all the same mm-hmm. way, right? We've all experienced loss in some capacity, but it's how do we get through that? And he actually shared his grandfather. They were holding.
Yeah. Pops.
His pops.
His pops. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like with him, yeah. Fiddle or Fiddler. Was it?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know him as Pops.
You know him as Pops.
that's how we refer to him.
Yeah.
And he carries that stone around with him quite a bit. Brings him to conventions, travels with him.
I just think that's the best part about this, is that if it was in your pocket, then it's, you know, everyone's ignorant to what it is. They're mm-hmm. not sure. It's just a stone,
yep.
right? And it's something that you could hold and feel, which is so much different than what I have sitting here on the table, which is so impersonal, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what the sharks really found, because he handed the stone around so they could all touch it. And you could see each of them when they received it, their face changed. And right. I know there's editing on the show and everything,
sure.
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, you could really see the reaction that they had when they held it. And that's the reaction that everyone has when they hold it.
Right.
And holding it is what's important. You can see it online and you can understand the concept, but when you actually hold it, it's a whole different experience.
And just bringing awareness to the world that there are other options for memorialization. If you're not aware, on a daily basis, I wear a necklace, right, that was made by a company, Thumbies, mm-hmm. and it has my brother's fingerprint. I think I told you this morning that every single time I decide to complain or think about complaining, I look down at this necklace and
that's,
I'm like, Nate would love to have an opportunity to complain again, so maybe I should just buck up. I can get through today because I get to have it, right? It's a gift. But I am excited to do this because I have all these things up on this this table with us, and they all mean something to me. But here is my pup, the first dog that my wife and I ever had. We had him for 16 years. His name is Riley. He is in this urn, and my plan is to coordinate it with you and have Riley go back. So when we travel somewhere, mm-hmm. I can leave Riley in the rivers that he used to go to us, go with us too on family vacations and trips. So he gets to be there forever.
Is he a swimmer? Did he enjoy the water?
He absolutely did not.
No.
No, the new dog is absolutely okay. A water dog. He was always fearful of the water. So we talk about funeral service and cemetery service. You didn't get to Parting Stone through, you know, filling out an advertisement and getting into representing this company on the entire West Coast, all the way to Montana, to Alaska and Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't get there by just doing it. You were actually a funeral professional of many years before this.
Yes, and I was already a fan of Parting Stone, so I sort of hunted them down, so to speak.
Yeah.
When I saw they had a job opening, I was like, this is my chance because I believe in this company. And you're correct. So prior to that, I was working in the funeral service and licensed as a funeral director here in California. And my main mission is to find the newer companies that are doing something really disruptive and interesting that I think families would benefit from and need, and helping develop that. So Parting Stone fits perfectly, obviously, with that. Yeah.
Right. Just showing families an innovative way. We have it at Darling Fisher, our sponsors, and the funeral homes that are in my care. And it's new to every single family that walks in the door, because, you know, they all haven't seen the Shark Tank episode. I wish they had. I wish more people knew that this thing existed. So we have that uphill battle as well.
Yes.
And why Stephanie is in town as just an educator extraordinaire for what this is and sharing with our team, so that when a family walks in, we're confident in sharing the value. Can you share some of the things that are like the first questions that we always have, the things that you train on?
Yes. I love the questions. They're my favorite part, because people are always coming up with new interesting questions and challenging me, which is fun for me to continue to do this. But some of the things are, do I have to send the full amount? Well, it's not a have to, but there's nothing you can't do with the stones that you can do with the cremated remains. And the goal is that the family doesn't receive any cremated remains, because
right.
that's not giving them the experience that they want, and that's good for them. If that's what they want to choose is the stones, then they shouldn't have any cremated remains anyway. So number one is that we try to get the full amount if we can, so it's a complete replacement, unless you want to make some keepsakes and things, and then that's
right.
totally fine. You can take some out. Another one is if we do infants, which I think is a really important question, because these are families that are grieving in a little different way. And
right.
so for them, being able to actually hold that stone of their, right, the infant that they lost,
yeah.
that's a completely different experience for them. And yes, we do. We've done that quite a few times, and I think it's really special. Can I customize the color? That's a very common question, which unfortunately, no. Because the colors are completely unique, and we don't know what they're going to be until the process is basically finished.
Wow.
It is fully natural, something that the person that died, it was something in their biology, something in their genetics, and we can't change that, and we wouldn't want to, because it's unique and special to them. So we get some really fun, interesting colors. Most of them do come back white, which is really clean and nice, so that's a big question. Also sizes. People ask, can I get one big one? You know, it doesn't
right.
really work. It doesn't fire correctly. So no. but we try to give a variety of sizes that you can see here that are about 1.5 to 2.5 inches. So they have a variety. Can they be engraved? Yes, we don't do it, but we know they can be.
It's a stone.
It's a stone. Yeah, they won't dissolve. They won't break down. They're not easy to break. You know, don't hit it with a hammer, but generally speaking, it'll be fine. They're going to outlast us. And there is something actually really beautiful about that, because they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So if you take someone to a mountain
mm-hmm.
and you leave a stone where you're at, right? And as a funeral professional, right, there's all kinds of laws and rules that are associated with.
Yes, there are.
Placing cremated remains somewhere. All of them, just so you know, are associated with psychological. None of it is physiological, right? The cremated remains won't hurt anybody. You just don't want to be at Stinson Beach on a busy day scattering cremated remains, like in The Big Lebowski. It's not something that goes
no?
over well.
You don't want to do
right.
that?
Right. No. But it's so much better for an individual mm-hmm. to have this experience. This is also speaking from someone who has a cemetery where people lay people to rest. I know that we want to continue the conversation. We are going to take just a quick break to talk to our sponsors, Starling Fisher and Los Gatos Memorial Park, and we will be back briefly and continue talking with Stephanie from Parting Stone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be right back with you. I'd like to take an opportunity and pause just to thank our sponsors, Darling Fisher and Los Gatos Memorial Park, celebrating lives one story at a time. As members of the community here in Campbell, San Jose, and Los Gatos, it has been an honor to care for so many of the loved ones of our community, and we are so grateful for your trust. That's why we're supporting this podcast, Guiding Grief, and bringing your community information about how to heal. Welcome back to the Guiding Grief podcast. We are still sitting here with Stephanie Poirier from Parting Stone. We're going to continue our conversation and diving into Parting Stones themselves. One of the things that I know that families, listeners would like to know is what to expect when they arrive at their home.
Yeah. So when you receive our Parting Stones, you're going to get a pine box with a cloth bag inside and then the stones inside that. Now, if you get it directly from the funeral home, I think it's a little nicer. You can have that experience. But if it comes just directly to your home, that's also fine. And when you open that up, you're going to find your loved one's name on the box, on the bag. There'll be a card inside thanking you and giving you some care instructions. The cremation disc or any other paperwork that was sent to us will come back as well. So it's all together. It's very nice. It's very high touch, high quality. You don't have to keep it in that box. So if people would like to buy a glass bowl to display them in or a beautiful urn, you can do that, or you can keep them in the box because it is a really nice, beautiful pine box that we've curated specifically for this.
Right. Mm-hmm. As it relates to the volume, if I've cremated a loved one, an adult, how many stones come back?
It's a great question. It's also my least favorite question.
Least favorite.
It depends on how much cremated remains there were to begin with.
Okay.
It's a one-to-one ratio of amount. Because we're not adding very much to create these and we're just compressing them, if you send, say, 10 cups worth of cremated remains, you will get 10 cups worth of these stones back. So it really just depends on how much we've received. That being said, an average adult is somewhere between 40 and 80-ish stones.
Wow.
Again, just depends on how the cremation went, how big the person is, that sort of thing. But right. a lot, you know, quite a few stones.
What are favorite stories or things? Because when you look at some of the brochures and the information, there's just so many people have done things artfully. And if you've brought cremated remains to your home, right, there's things that I know to be, that I'm certain of, that there's a box of cremated remains on top of someone's shelf behind the pole chain light and the bowling ball inside of your closet that, you know, you don't touch unless you see that piece of luggage. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that people can now do with these, because they can be brought in to the light of your home and they're a little bit more conspicuous, but they also have, you know, a beauty in that touch thing that we talked about earlier. They just the ability to
Absolutely.
Handle them.
Our families are very creative. We hear new things all the time, which is wonderful. And we get pictures and letters and stories. There's entire Instagrams dedicated to someone who's passed, and their family now shows their stones at different places doing different things. We love it. We love to hear about it. There's four common things that people do, but really it's sort of a mix of doing all of these things with one set of remains. The number one is sharing. People share these all the time. There's so many stones and there's so many people who would like to have that same connection with that that person. So sharing the stones is really valuable, especially among family members and among children. I've heard several stories now of memorial services or other types of services where children were interacting with the stones and could take stones home with them. And that really helps them start their grief journey in a way that maybe they don't have otherwise.
Right.
So I think that's a really great one that I like. Scattering is obviously very common, like what we were talking about earlier. It's less messy, permitting issues, that sort of thing. But what we hear a lot of is that our families are scattering them at really interesting, memorable locations, bringing them on cross-country trips and leaving them at different favorite hotspots. One woman took the stones of her mother on safari in Africa because she hadn't made it while she was alive and had always wanted to go, right? So we hear a lot of that, a lot of the stones just traveling around and going to unique places and being left at memorable locations, or at least having photos taken. I saw one a couple of days ago next to the Eiffel Tower. So somebody was on a trip in Paris and it was just one stone that somebody had taken and took pictures all along their journey, right? So we hear that a lot. We hear a lot of traveling stories. One gentleman took a motorcycle across Canada with his dad's stones and left them all over at different spots. Learned a lot about his family history through the process. So it actually turned into a whole experience for him that started with the stones. Learned a lot about his family, met people he'd never met before, all kinds of really interesting things. And then, of course, keeping them at home. So yes, obviously people do keep them at home as well. And they will put them in a lovely thing on the table and then be able to show them to people when they come over and say, hey, this is my brother. And, you know, you can hold it and you can touch it. And they're not as embarrassed or as put off having it out.
Right.
So for sure. And then making unique displays. We've had people put them in interesting hanging things that they've made. So they've made their own art project out of it. We've had people put it in their gardens outside or in a planter, or, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things we haven't even heard of.
Right.
Rock skipping is very common, having little ceremonies where people are skipping across a river or a lake.
That's what I thought about doing with Riley, because Riley would be always sitting on the bank and my son and I would be skipping rocks, and he's not a water dog, so he would be sitting there, and I was like, I want to do that with Lachlan, our son, and just make sure that Riley lives forever in nature where he loved to be and travel with us, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people, that's really, when you talk to people and you that do cremation and you say, well, what do you want from this? What's the end goal? Well, I'd love to be a tree. Well, as we know, unfortunately, in this industry, there aren't a lot of great ways to become a tree when you've died. But if you want to be part of nature, and perhaps all different kinds of nature, then the stones make that really easy, because you can be put in a lake, you can be put next to a tree, you can be placed in a garden, you can go out to the ocean. You can be everywhere and anywhere. It's really lovely, and our families are very creative.
I love it. One of the things that I love the most about it is that it's going to change the conversation, right?
I hope
so. If there is, you know, a bowl or a mantle and it has this in it and it allows us to have that conversation, I feel like that urn presence on a mantle is so ominous and so unapproachable. The thing that we don't do, we don't ask our friends about that when we're at their house. But if they've done this, maybe that's an invitation to have a conversation about your loved one, because they wanted them to continue to be a part of their life. And I don't know, cremation is, what percentage would we say the United States? It's well over
60%. We're over 60% in the U.S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's 60% of our population is cremating, and not a large enough portion is doing solidification at this point, the new category. What portion is pets, dogs, cats, you know, our true, you know, the only true love that exists, right, in the world is that you get from your unconditional, I should say, would be from our animals. What percentage is human versus pet?
So right now we do somewhere between 20% and 30% pet every month. That being said, we've focused first on human, because we want to make sure that people are empowered and understanding of that going through this, you know, the funeral planning and the grief and that. The pets have sort of happened, because when they find out that this exists, they say, oh, can I do pets? Well, of course you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we still get a large amount for the fact that we focused first on helping people with people. So yeah, I would say somewhere between 20 and 30%, depending month to month.
Right.
And we'll have pet facilities, pet crematories, vets that just want to offer their family something different that don't even do the cremation, but they still were interested enough to want to empower their families to show our brochure to their families and let them choose it. A lot of our funeral home partners will send us their pets because they love what we do and they see it. and they see the value and they want to have that for their pets. So we do a lot for our funeral homes as well.
So, and has that changed considerably since the Shark Tank phenomena?
Yes and no. We definitely had a large spike in interest in education, in funeral homes wanting to partner with us, and in families coming into the funeral home saying, I want this.
Right.
Which is really good for a new category, for the professionals to have to be educated by the public, because that means that the professional has to take it seriously and educate themselves now as well.
We do this now.
Exactly. And so we've gotten a lot of that. A lot of our funeral homes are saying, oh yeah, people are coming in knowing what it is now. And so that makes it a lot easier, and it's helping educate the professionals more. We didn't triple our orders or something, right? Of course, we saw a spike, and you know, we're still trending higher than we did in previous years. But for us, it's more about the education, getting it out there, making sure people know that they have their choices, and more people know that now, which is great.
I love it because I'm fortunate to live in this world of early adoption in the Silicon Valley. And I just think of all the individuals that are thinking of something new and unique, something that hasn't been done, something that hasn't been thought of. And I mean, this is the home of incubation and ideas. And Justin did that. I mean, as an artisan, was just like, this isn't good enough. Right. I want to do something different. I'm inspired by it, which I think is one of the reasons that I love it so much, because it's so different and it changes that experience for a family, and it makes it tactile, right? It makes it something, because no one wants to hold these cremated.
No, nobody's
remains.
Opening an urn to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
They're not opening the bag to touch it. That's just not happening. And even us in the profession, we don't want to do that, right? That's just not pleasant. It's not comfortable. If anything, it's going to make your grief worse, not better. So yeah, the idea of finding a solution and then putting yourself behind it and figuring out a way to make it work and then creating a company and then convincing other people to do it. I mean,
I know.
It's, you know,
and
more
then
power
bearing
to
your
them,
soul
for sure.
to the world.
Yeah.
On, you know, in front of billionaires saying like, hey, this is something that's new. And
his personal story.
Right.
It's a very personal venture of his. So, and how many people out there have these wonderful ideas and this doesn't happen?
Right.
They never get shown. But this did, luckily for all of us.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm so grateful for it. It's in every single room at Darling Fisher. So every family can walk in and see that this is an experience that could become theirs, right? And in the world that we're at Darling Fisher, as we've changed, this is something that looks and feels like our space and looks and feels like maybe something that's the future. And also having better conversations about those that we've lost, instead of, like I mentioned earlier, behind the pole chain light in the closet,
yeah.
where we don't know, we don't see, we don't talk. You know, from our greatest generation, which they're our greatest generation, but they're still flawed in the fact that, hey, we're going to bury those tears. We're going to buck up and we're not going to talk about this. But gosh, I love talking about the loved ones, especially with the families that we get to serve.
It helps keep their memory alive. If you're still talking about them, then they still exist in some way.
Right.
And we all also, of course, need to understand our own finite time here and figure out how to best use it and appreciate the other people that are in your life while you have it and all of that. And I do think that something like this, especially if somebody came to my house and saw a bowl on my counter of stones and I started telling them what it was, I'm sure we would have a 2-hour conversation now about all of that. And I think that's beautiful.
An invitation to talk about life.
Absolutely.
Through someone we've lost. I am so incredibly grateful that you came up here, spent time with the team at Darling Fisher to educate us. We're early adopters. I'm an early adopter. And as I mentioned, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is something that we want to present to our families. And I'm just so grateful for the education you provided to our team today.
Thank you. We love working with partners that are looking for something else and extra to offer families at time of grief. So this is a perfect partnership.
We are going to close out, but I just want to thank you, Stephanie, again, for coming up here, for being a part of the Darling Fisher family. taking Justin's great work and sharing it with our community here in Los Gatos and Campbell and the greater San Jose area, to just let people know that there is something new and unique that will allow you to keep your loved one near you, to allow you to travel with your loved one, for your loved one to continue to be a part of your life on a daily basis, right? If you're not going to use a cemetery, if you've made a decision to do something different, let us know at Darling Fisher. If that individual is at your home and you want to make this step, we'd be honored to assist you. Or I know that you guys do direct to consumer as well.
We do, right? But we love our funeral homes and we love our partnership with you. So working with you, I think, is a better experience for the family as well. So we always recommend that they go through you if possible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Stephanie, you are all world. It is so wonderful to have spent today with you, to have you on Guiding Grief. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Guiding Grief. We are so grateful that you tuned in today, and we hope you have a great and wonderful day. Please remember, always be kind to one another. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Guiding Grief Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Welsenbach. Grief is a profound experience, but you're not alone. Let's continue to navigate this journey together. If you have any thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to explore, reach out. Until next time, be kind to yourself, find strength in your resilience, and always hold on to hope. Before we end, I'd like to give a quick thank you to KCAT TV for producing our show. Please remember, be good to one another.